All right, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, please. Let's begin reading verse 1, Romans 4. Verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And I'd like to preach this morning on the subject of imputation. Imputation. Lord, bless your word today. Thank you for every person that's here. Thank you for the blessed Holy Spirit. And we ask now that his presence would just shower down on us this morning. May the Holy Ghost have his way in this service, and may the name of Christ be lifted up. May God, we look to you this morning as our helper. And God, I ask that you would strengthen each one of us, those of us who are saved. I ask that your grace would help us and carry us and strengthen us. And Lord, if someone's not a Christian today, I ask that you would save them. Just have your way in every ounce of this service. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. C.H. Spurgeon called the doctrine of imputation the foundation truth of Christianity. It's the rock on which our hopes are built. It's the only hope of a sinner and the only true joy of a Christian. If you can comprehend the doctrine of imputation, then you'll have a good handle on what it means to be a Christian. If you can understand imputation, you'll have a biblical understanding of what salvation is. By the way, just knowing doctrines won't save you. There's a lot of folks who know doctrines, but they don't know Christ. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Imputation is the just for the unjust. Romans 4 here, he addresses this great theme. The Apostle Paul, he's laying down the groundwork here for justification by faith. I believe the Old Testament saints were saved in the same manner that we're saved. In other words, salvation is and always has been by grace through faith. The Greek word here for imputed, it's found 10 times in Romans chapter 4. But it's sometimes the translators use different words. So twice it's translated as counted, and three times it's translated as reckoned. So when you see the word reckoned or the word counted, it's the same word as imputed. In this epistle, the Apostle Paul, what he's doing here, he's taking a battering ram to man's works. He's destroying man's works. The Jews were proud of their righteousness, weren't they? They were proud of their how religious they were, if I can put it that way. They were proud of that. They were proud of their rituals. They were proud of how they kept certain rituals and did certain things. They were proud of that. They're still proud of that, a lot of them today. They were depending and proud of their works, weren't they? The Jews were. They believed in order to gain heaven that they had to keep the law. And they had to do good and be righteous. And Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you're not entering in. But their righteousness wasn't good enough to get to heaven either, was it? Paul had just told the same people here in Romans chapter 3. Look at it. It's just a page back. Romans chapter 3, look at verse 10. Look what he had just told them. He said, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Well, skip up to verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. We're all sinners, he says, right? Jews and Gentiles. Verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all going out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So both Jews and Gentiles are under sin. We're all sinners.
Amen.
We're all sinners. We're all guilty. The Bible says if we were left to ourselves, none would seek God. None of us would seek God. We're all sinners by nature and we're all sinners by choice. The whole world is guilty before God, the Bible says. We're all guilty. You know, this is what we call depravity. Man is depraved. This is depravity. And let me say this, if you're wrong about depravity, you're going to be wrong about everything.
Amen.
If you think there's something you can do to be saved, you'll set about doing it. I think of John Bunyan. When the Lord started convicting John Bunyan, you know, the writer of the Pilgrim's Progress, he said, I cleaned up my life. He said, I stopped this and stopped that and started this and started that. And he said, I was feeding the Lord with all kinds of religious dainties. That's how he said it. But you know what he came to realize? That all he was doing, this was his words, he said, all I was doing was making a cleaner way to hell. See, just cleaning to reforming your life won't save you. Just cleaning up your life won't save you. That's not salvation, folks. Now, if you get saved, I do believe the Lord will clean your life up. But that's not salvation. The Jews, the Bible says, were going about to establish their own righteousness, weren't they? And they would not submit themselves. You know, if this is my righteousness, and I've got a hold of it, in order to submit myself to God's righteousness, I'm going to have to let go of this.
Amen.
And the Jews would not let go of that. And let me tell you, there's some Baptists won't let go of it. And there's some Presbyterians won't let go of it. And there's some Pentecostals won't let go of it. And there's some Catholics won't let go of it. And there's some Jehovah's Witnesses won't let go of it. But you've got to let go of it.
Amen.
You've got to say, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. In other words, it's not your own righteousness, folks. That's what Paul's doing here. He's knocking the props out from under this works. This works. You know, the Jews are, and I'm not just picking on the Jews, I just named everybody I could think of off the top of my head. But the Jews the Bible says explicitly, they were going about to establish their own righteousness, right? And that's what Paul's dealing with here. But I think there's a lot of folks like that. As a matter of fact, sometimes when you talk to people, you say, are you a Christian? They'll say, I'm trying. Well, I understand if they mean that in a good way, but I don't understand that if they mean that in a bad way. The word Christian means to be Christ-like.
Amen.
To be a follower of Christ. Yeah, I am trying that. I'm trying to be more Christ-like. But I'm not trying to be saved. I'm not trying to be justified. I'm already justified. You follow me? I think there's a lot of folks that are trying. They're trying to be good. They're trying to be fair. They're trying to be nice. They're trying to be a good neighbor. They're trying to give to a good cause. They're trying to be honest. They're try. I got a news flash for you. I got a news flash for you this morning if you're one of them people that's trying. Okay? If you're trying to get to heaven that way, I want to tell you something. Christ came into this world to save sinners. Listen, he's the great physician. And those that are whole don't need one. In other words, you have to see yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior. So what I'm trying to tell you is if you're trying, if you come to Christ, you've got to get rid of that trying stuff. Okay? Let me ask you, are you trusting in anything this morning besides the blood of Jesus Christ? Are you trusting in anything this morning besides the blood of Jesus Christ? Are you resting or are you trying? The hymn writer stated it this way: my faith has found a resting place. From guilt my soul is freed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds they for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Is that your resting place today? Has your faith found a resting place? I hope it is. Is that enough for you? Is that enough for you? It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Is that enough? Well, I got news for you. It is enough. Is that where your faith is at? Justification. I only have 2 points. Justification is not by works. Justification is not by works. That's point number one. Verse 3 of chapter 4 again, please. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that worketh not but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Notice first that the Apostle Paul relied on the word of God. He said, for what saith the scriptures? What saith the scriptures? You know, we're Baptists, and Baptists are supposed to be people of the book. So I'll just say this. Your opinions are nice, but I want chapter and verse, please. Show me what the Bible says, right?
Amen.
Show me what the Bible says. Abraham, the Bible tells us here that Abraham was not saved by works, does it? It says, but to him that worketh not, verse 5. Abraham was not saved by works. If he could say, I was saved by works, he could boast in that. He could glory in that. Abraham could say, I'm saved because I'm such a good person. I saved because I kept the law. I saved, of course, Abraham couldn't keep the law, but Abraham was not saved by keeping the law because the law hadn't been given yet. Right? And by the way, keeping the law has never saved anybody.
Amen.
You say, why is that, preacher? Well, because no one's ever kept the law besides Jesus Christ. Keeping the law can never save anybody. And by the way, keeping the law can't keep you saved either. You and I hate to, I got some bad news. You know, you remember those old jokes, you know, I got some good news and some bad news. Right? Here's the bad news. The bad news is we're born rebels. We're born lawbreakers. We've been breaking the moral law since we come out of the womb. Abraham's faith produced works. But works do not save. Let me say it again. Abraham's faith produced works, but works do not save.
Amen.
The book of James tells us that it's not enough to say I have faith. You know, we're living in an environment where a lot of people say they're Christians, but their life doesn't bear that out. It's not enough to say, James says, it's not enough to say I have faith. He says, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. So a true faith, a true living faith will produce works. That's so. But the Bible says justification is to him that worketh not. You're not justified. You're not made a Christian. You're not saved by the grace of God by your works. Amen. As a matter of fact, grace and works are totally opposites. We're saved by believing on him that justifieth the ungodly. That's how we're saved. It's not by works. Works do not save. Verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. God imputes righteousness without works. God reckons it to our account, that righteousness, without works, without works. I want to say this, good deeds do not save. Amen. Keeping the law does not save. Religious rites and ceremonies do not save. Creeds do not save. Baptism in deep water or being sprinkled does not save. Amen. Coming, now I'm going to cut a little closer to the bone here. Coming forward does not save. Raising your hand does not save. Repeating a prayer does not save. Now you might do those things when you got saved. I'm not saying you didn't. But that's not what saved you. A lot of things men are trusting in are not going to stand at the judgment, folks. I was preaching at the jail, and I was preaching about getting saved, being saved, trying to preach the gospel to those people. And I was in, they call them pods. I was in the ladies' pod. And I was preaching along these lines, and all of a sudden this girl kind of pepped up, and she said, I did that. And what she meant was, there'd been a time where she had raised her hand or come to the altar. But I got news for you. Her life didn't bear it out. Now, I'm not saying she wasn't saved. I don't know. Even Christian people can end up in a bad shape. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of folks who say, I did that. But God, they weren't saved. They're not saved. Your only hope, listen, your only hope, your only plea is Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Yeah. You better be trusting Christ. You better not be trusting something you did sometime. You better be trusting Christ. That's all I'm saying. It's not by works. It's not by works. Justification is not by works. Number two, justification is by faith. Justification is by faith. Look at verse 3 again. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him. That word counted is imputed, by the way. Same word, Greek word. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but notice this, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. The only way to be saved is to believe on Jesus Christ. Amen. Now you can do that. You can do that at home. You can do that in your seat. You can do that. You don't have to be at church to be saved. Aren't you glad? There's been lots of people not saved at church. It's good when people get saved at church, but you don't have to be at church. Do you know Spurgeon? I mentioned him at the beginning of the sermon. Spurgeon never gave one invitation. He never gave one invitation in all his ministry. And I read where he had probably millions of people saved. But he would tell people, he said, this is his exact words. He said, before you stir another inch, trust Christ.
Amen.
And people were saved right in their seats. Amen. Where they were sitting. I'm just trying to tell you, God's able to save without singing 14 verses of Just As I Am. He's able to save people right where they're sitting, isn't he? He can save you. I was saved at my house. Brother Herbie was saved at his house. Evelyn was saved at church. The guy I worked with was saved. He went to church and got under such conviction. When he got home, he got saved at home. Right? I'm just trying to tell you, you're not saved by works. You're saved by believing on Christ.
Yes.
And you don't have to be at church, folks, to do that. I'm glad for that.
Yes.
How can a man be justified? How can a man be made right with God? How can a lost, hell-bound rebel, that's what we are. How can a lost, hell-bound rebel be reconciled to God? We're the enemies of God, the Bible says. How can the enemy of God make peace with God? Well, I want to report to you today, there's not 10 ways to be saved. There's not even 2 ways to be saved. There's only 1 way to be saved. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way. The only way to be saved is to trust Him, to believe on Him. To cast your soul on Him. Say, Lord, I'm a mess. I'm a wreck. I'm a sinner. I'm guilty. I need saved. You can save me. I'm trusting you.
Amen.
That's all. You say, that sounds mighty simple. I know it's mighty simple. How come people don't do it? Well, how can a man be justified? Jesus Christ is the way. The Bible says Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness.
Amen.
You know, people say, I don't understand that. Abraham didn't have the gospel. I don't know what Abraham knew, but I do know he ate lunch with Jesus one time, so I have a pretty good idea that he knew something. I know that Abraham took his son up on a mountain one time to slay him, and God stopped him. I think Abraham had a pretty good idea of something. Don't you? It was counted unto him for righteousness. Look at back again. Well, I don't even have to turn the page in my Bible. Romans 3, look at verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely. I underlined that in my Bible, freely. It's because he wanted to.
Amen.
Right? Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might, notice this, that he might be the just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Hey, if he's the just and the justifier, what do you and I got to brag about? What do we got to boast about? Well, I can answer that. The answer is nothing. We don't have anything to boast about. He gets all the glory, doesn't he? He gets all the praise. He gets all the honor. He says, verse 27, where is boasting then? Is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. I'm just trying to tell you today, it's all of grace.
Amen.
It's grace. It's by grace through faith, as the Bible says. That's it. That's it. If you come to Christ, it's by grace through faith. Right?
Amen.
You don't have anything to brag about. You don't have anything to boast about. Jesus Christ is just. He's the just and the justifier. He was sinless, wasn't he? He was spotless. He didn't do anything. He didn't deserve what the wrath that God poured out on him, you and I deserved. He took my place, right? He took my place. He is perfectly righteous, and he's the justifier if you believe in him. If you believe in him. I'm asking you today, are you justified? Now listen, if you're still saying I'm trying, you're messed up. Okay? It don't work that way, folks. But if you are justified, you've got much to rejoice about. Let me give you something. Some reasons to rejoice. Your sins are covered. How's that? That's something to rejoice about. Your guilt is gone. Your guilt is gone. You have peace with God. You have a steadfast hope. You have an anchor for your soul. Heaven is your home. And Christ is your Savior. You've got something to rejoice about if you're justified. If you're justified. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he," notice this, "for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." I'm telling you right there, that's imputation. That's substitution. That's God taking my place. That's God dying for my sins. That's God placing his righteousness on me and putting my sins on Christ. That's imputation. Salvation is a transaction, folks. It's a great exchange.
Yes.
And I got the better of the deal.
Amen.
I've got something to rejoice about. And if you're saved today, you got something to rejoice about. And I got news for you. While the ages roll, we'll still be rejoicing about it. I got a picture of Brother Ralph back there sharing on my file cabinet. And I see it every time I go in there to study. And I think what's going to be like, see him again. We're going to have a good time, ain't we?
Yeah.
What a day of rejoicing that'll be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory, won't we? It'll all be, we'll understand it better when we get there. Well, I want to tell you today, I stand here as an ambassador. And if you're a Christian, you're an ambassador. I invite you to Christ if you're not a Christian. Notice what it says in chapter 4. I'm quitting. I'm going to actually get done before noon today. I've been going longer. I apologize. But Evelyn says it's because we've been starting later. I've let y'all sit around and talk half the morning. But I like that too. I like y'all fellowshipping. But the Bible says, look at verse 23 of Romans chapter 4. The Bible says, "Now it was not written for his sake," that's Abraham, "it was not written for Abraham's sake alone that it was imputed to him." It wasn't written just because Abraham. It wasn't written just to him, was it? "But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." We serve a living Savior. He's raised again, doesn't he? He died for our sins. He's living. He ever liveth. And he makes intercession for us. He's at the right hand of the Father right now, isn't he? And one of these days he's coming back for us. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for him to come back? Have you trusted him to be your substitute? Has his righteousness been imputed? I'm telling you, folks, one of these days, we're all going to the judgment. Faster than you think. Right? We're all going to the judgment. And the only thing that's going to stand at the judgment is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's the only. It's not going to matter if you was a Baptist. It's not going to matter how many times you went to church, you know. I think you ought to go to church. Right? But that's not going to be, you're not going to get to heaven and say, Lord, I went to church faithfully. Now you got to let me in. That's not, the only thing that's going to matter is you have the righteousness of Christ. Right? Les mentioned that thief on the cross. The only thing that mattered, Les, is that he had trusted Christ.
Yes.
That's who. He couldn't say, well, I was baptized. He never had a chance to do that. He couldn't say, well, I went to church. He never had a chance to do that. He couldn't say, well, I've been reading the Old Testament. I've been reading the Bible. He couldn't say that, could he? What could he say? He could say, I trusted the Messiah.
Amen.
That's all he could say. That's all anybody can say, by the way. Can you say that? Les, you come, Ginger, please. You come.